So yesterday was the Super Bowl, and while I would like to think that the Super Bowl really captures the American spirit of athletic achievement and greatness and sportsmanship and success, I hate to break it to you, babe, but really the NFL is one big, fat, money-making, powerful product. And guess what? We're all bought in. Every last one of us, the millions and millions tuning in, hanging on every ad, hanging on Usher's abs, hanging on Taylor Swift and Blake Lively doing the Macarena and taking a shit because we know the whole play-by-play in the viewing suite. Okay, we are all bought in. And you know, I have to say, coming to this realization and this reckoning internally has been sad for me because even like take last night, right, with the Kansas City Chiefs winning, I was never, you know me, I'm a Tom Brady gal through and through. Like it will be like Tom Brady forever. Life will be on my grave. And also, like, don't fucking tell me what to say or do. But nonetheless, I was never the biggest Patrick Mahomes fan. I always found him like a little bit cocky and what have you. But I have to say, I actually changed my tune when I listened to or watched the Netflix documentary Quarterback because I really appreciated his hustle and tenacity and perfectionism. I relate so much, especially when he would say things like, you know, say he pulled off a crazy play and a touchdown in his head, being so, again, psychotic and methodical and perfectionist, he'd be like, yeah, but I would still be thinking about like how I fucked up the play before. And that is just not okay. Like, hi, it is me. I attend the class. So anyway, that just goes to show how, you know, my appreciation for Mahomes and the like, you know, grew. And are they all these players on the fields, the puppets, are they just puppets of the puppet master? Are they pawns in the NFL power scheme? Well, I think sadly, yes. Yeah, sorry to ruin the hearts and minds of the American spirit. No, but listen, talking about power, right? This is why Taylor Swift has taken over the NFL. And guess what? The NFL has let this happen. So, okay, if you haven't caught my drift today, today's episode is all about power, baby. Power, the powers that be. From Taylor Swift shaking her pom-poms to Putin and Trump derangement syndrome. That's right, it's going down. So, guess what? The NFL let this happen. And I have to say, I am just as annoyed as you that I know Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift like synced up, like I said, shitting schedule. I'm not, again, I'm not even the biggest football fan on the planet. And every other grid on the NFL's Instagram is every breath that Taylor Swift takes. Again, I'm annoyed, right? But why has the NFL let this happen? Again, because people will say all the Swifties will come to her defense and say, you know, it's not her fault. They put the cameras on her. She's just going and, you know, supporting the boyfriend, which I'm going to get to again. I talked about it a little bit in my last episode, but my theory on this whole thing when it comes to power, even if it's subconsciously, because let's be real, Taylor Swift, no matter how you feel about her, is pretty effing powerful, right? But nonetheless, the NFL has let this happen. Why? Because they know that, like, they are literally becoming an Instagram influencer manifesto. I'm not, it's show, their feed is showing like Alex Earl in some photo booth with her boyfriend. And then again, like Taylor Swift braiding Blake Lively's hair. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm coming to see football, but they know it's going to drive her millions and millions of fans, obsessed fans, to the NFL, to the product, to tickets, like to implode StubHub and the NFL site and merch and all that shit that it accomplished, right? So they are completely shameless in this and shame on them for this, okay? But I have my whole own theory when it comes to power. Before I get into again the conspirators that be of, you know, Taylor Swift and Biden, even though Biden can't even name her and barely even knows who she is, conspiring for this year's election, right? Which you have from a lot of right-wing, like I said, conspirators. I personally think, okay, this is just my opinion from being in the depths of Hollywood and never fully recovering and watching the PR machine. No, look, I mean, I joked in my last episode, is this just PR at its finest? Like two powerful people, again, Travis Kelce, like made a wish to the genie of like, please pick me of all the NFL people for Taylor Swift to infiltrate and make more famous. And whether it's PR at work or not, maybe that's a part of it. Look, I just think the whole thing is super contrived, not in the nutty right wing way. I just think it's contrived from the onset, right? Wasn't it like Travis Kelce was at a Taylor Swift concert and magically like descends from the air and like asks her out? It's just like this whole public thing. And then suddenly they fall in love and Taylor Swift is doing cartwheels on the Super Bowl field. Like, to me, it's just so, it feels so phony baloney over the top. But I think subconsciously for both of them, even as powerful as Taylor Swift is, no matter what it is about her, you know, mesmerizing teenage dream charm, I think subconsciously these people both know, right? And Taylor Swift's success and her empire and her power has been calculated. This shit is not on purpose, okay? Like, even though the doodles on her notebook of middle school like may have played a part, they are not like the complete method behind the madness. I think that for both of them, it's a means to, they know they're not stupid people. And subconsciously, it's more popularity, even like the right wing, right? Oh, Travis Kelce with Pfizer, this. They want to look cool with the hip, young, woke crowd. So looking like cool, you know what I mean? Like capital, lowercase, cool in your MySpace bio. And thus, you get more relevance, more power, more fame, more money, and money makes the world go round and round and round we go. And sorry, I don't make the rules, right? So that's just where I land on it when it comes to power and people's motivations for power, right? So off of that, though, is where, again, many conspiracy tinfoil hat donning people have taken this, which is, oh, what are the chances that this whole big public hoopla happens? Again, we're seeing every single thing they do. It's everywhere. It's annoying at this point, which I agree. You know, Pfizer, Bud Light, Taylor Swift once endorsed Joe Biden. Like, oh, and we happen to have an election this year. Again, for me, it just, look, don't get it twisted, okay? Because I called this out in my last ep. I put nothing behind the ruthlessness of our Slim Shady government. Like, do we want to talk about the JFK assassination or not, babe? But like, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. So the point is, I would put nothing past them, but I think that this is a mega, not a MAGA, a mega, actually is a MAGA reach. Actually, no, it is a MAGA's, it is a MAGA's reach. I do think it is a MAGA reach, because even if somehow they were all like, this whole Taylor Swift psyop or the workings of our government to influence the minds of young America, what are the odds that they would get Taylor Swift in on this and knowingly, when her fans follow every, they probably are selling her farts in containers for billions of dollars, okay? So what are the odds of them getting her on board for this, right? I just think it is not reality. It's not real. But let's talk about something that is very much real, okay? Very much real. Realer than the stripper poles that somehow emerged like from Ludacris's head during the halftime show. Like, what is happening there? That's a whole other episode in of itself. Like, what did I just see? So actually a real threat, but Putin. That's right. From Taylor Swift to Putin. Talk to me, Taylor. And, you know, it's a small world after all. So Tucker Carlson pats himself on the back. He strokes his own microphone of his little ding dong like no one's business for being the first Western journalist to interview Vladimir Putin, Russia's president, in case you literally reside on like a black hole somewhere in another universe. Since Russia started invading Ukraine in 2022, right? So talk about power. Now, first of all, before I go into this, I thought this was interesting because even I fell victim to this, so to speak. I was like, wow, you know, regardless of how I feel about Tucker Carlson, like I give him balls for doing this, considering there's an American journalist literally locked up in Russia as we speak, like 30-year-old guy. And Vladimir Putin is such a ruthless, maniacal dictator that he will have Russian journalists killed if they so much as speak out against him, right? So, and the fact that our media paints the whole world, like they're totally pro-Ukraine and all this. And again, I'm not getting into the weeds of this, but, and Putin as just an off the rocker, unhinged, you know, lunatic dictator, right? So the fact that Tucker did this, I was like, oh, okay, he has balls. I will point out though, and Nelly Bowles of the Free Press pointed this out, which is like, okay, I'm sure that Tucker Carlson isn't, like, for a fact, isn't the only Western journalist to try to get this interview with Putin, you know, because it was this whole big thing. Like, Tucker's the only one. This is real journalism and da-da-da. So that's something to take in mind, too, with a grain of salt. But my thoughts on Tucker Carlson, look, like, everyone, you know, because obviously I have a background in journalism and, you know, getting into the depths of, like I said, Hollywood underworlds in you know, what have you, but it was very serious. Okay, Pulitzer worthy or not, but no, I'm actually proud of my work that I did out there. But getting into the uncomfortable truths and getting into the minds of these people, which I agree with wholeheartedly and 100%. I think that Tucker Carlson, this is me personally again, right? I think that he is arrogant. I think that I don't always agree with him, of course. I think that he's like a huge egomaniac, but I do think that he is curious nonetheless. So, okay, does he deserve the, you know, perpetual and collective circle jerk that he constantly gets on the internet? I don't know about that. Again, seems like a little bit of a stretch, but it is what it is, right? Like, for me, a couple things that like did me over with Tucker Carlson was, one, when he like couldn't come up for air making all the love to Andrew Tate. Like, I don't see what's so wrong with your ideas about strong men in the household. It's like, okay, dude, like get a reality check on life and like what Andrew Tate is all about and has said. I've talked about it before. And also his recent comments on Israel and how like purely like nationalist Tucker Carlson is. I mean, he like, it was like merely weeks after October 7th, after the Hamas massacre in Israel. And he's sitting down with Candace Owens and he's like, yeah, you know, it's really sad. But you know, what we really need to focus on and what's sadder are the fentanyl deaths in America. Like, no sympathy to be had. So those two in and of itself events lost credibility for me with Tucker Carlson, but I digress, right? So that's a little bit on that. So I watched the interview, right? Fascinating. And Tucker Carlson starts out with a little introduction to the audience saying how Vladimir Putin starts off with this whole 40-minute explanation and history lesson that he thought was a filibuster, but really he's like, my team and I, you know, thought about it. And I actually do think this is Tucker saying this. Tucker says, just making clear for the, you know, AI snippets of the interweb, he says, reviewing it and reflecting on it, that Putin is coming from a genuine place, a sincere place in Putin's mind, right? So I begin to watch the interview. And again, I'm not going to go into the weeds, but essentially Putin, listen, he is a very smart man. There is no denying this. He starts off by saying, listen, you asked me about you invading Ukraine. This will take just 30 seconds if you let me explain. This is mansplaining at its peak, okay? Because 30 seconds turns into a 40-minute in-depth history lesson. Very much on purpose though, and very targeted for a reason about the history of Russia and its identity and its land and where Ukraine comes into the picture and all this. And Tucker Carlson keeps interjecting him, being like, I don't see how this is relevant. Again, this could have been said in 15 seconds, but here is Putin going down this whole thing, and he does it on purpose to explain where in his mind he's coming from and how in his mind and those people who are bought into his point of view and are in line with him, why they think what they think. And he is dating back to, I'm not kidding, hundreds of years, like the 9th century. Like, you thought your history class was boring. You should thank your lucky stars, okay, for Mrs. Shannon that day in 9th grade, because that shit was nothing. Like, he really goes into the depths of it all. But all that goes to say, you know, for me, it was really fascinating because I'm watching. And let me just be super clear. I am in no way, shape, or form defending Putin. If I would be killed by Putin's standards, okay, as being a person in the media and a journalist who speaks out against our government, okay? So I wouldn't stand a chance. Like, 30 seconds, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm somewhere in like non-Taylor Swift infiltrated NFL heaven. And so I'm watching it though. Like, again, I think that he is very smart, but I think that he is obviously an authoritarian, evil, manipulative dictator. And he's somebody who's the purest of dictators because he acts like he's not. And even the manipulation, right? How he's like, this will take 30 seconds and proceeds to explain it for 40 minutes. So with that being said, I'm watching it and I'm going, I understand how in his brain, and again, those who follow him and follow suit, why it makes sense to them, right? And why he laid it out in depth the way that he did. But what was interesting to me is to see how the media reacted, right? And you see a lot, even with Tucker, like calling Tucker like an idiot or a puppet, and Putin himself, you know, things like he's lost it. You know, it's clearly ridiculous. It's complete nonsense. And that's where I think that we should be careful, because you saw a lot of people coming out of the woodwork. And again, not defending Putin at all, but saying, this is why people aren't bought into the media. Like, this is why you've lost us, because you buy into these frenzy, crazy, push these narratives. Even like at one point, right, how they were painting it, like from my understanding, I thought Putin was like on his deathbed, like one foot in the grave, you know, babbling more than Joe Biden. And that's what a lot of people were saying in the comments. It's like, you guys painted it this way. And obviously he's very much coherent, again, as evil as he is. We want to see what's accurate. And this is where it's important, like I said, to distinguish, right? Putin may be all of these things, again. He may be completely evil, authoritarian. I mean, he's been president for 24 years in Russia. And technically, yes, they have elections over his dead body, literally. Well, any opposing team, whatever, like they are stifled, they are killed, they are silenced. He's not going to see it in his day, right? So as all of these things are that he is, do not confuse that with him being crazy. Or him like, oh, he's lost it again. He's off his rocker, because guess what? He's very much with it, very much calculated, very much manipulative, and not to like fear monger, but you should be scared. Okay. Like me watching it, I was like, oh shit. Like I see what this guy's doing and where he's coming from. Right. So with that being said, with all of like hysteria and frenzy, I came across a fascinating podcast last week in which Andrew Sullivan was being interviewed. Now, Andrew Sullivan, to take a turn now from Putin to Trump. Andrew Sullivan is one of our media's most prominent and regarded thought leaders. He's conservative, gay man, very outspoken, and was a huge gay marriage activist, right? And he's basically being interviewed about being somebody who again fell victim to Trump derangement syndrome. And the interviewer is asking him, like, come on, how could you really think that Trump was gonna be some evil dictator, you know, man who does all of these like unhinged threats and carries them out and things he says he's gonna do? And Andrew Sullivan defends it and explains himself. He's like, this guy is talking like, you know, making threats like, I'm going to be dictator for a day and I'm going to deport however many illegals, and didn't end up doing any of it. Right. And it compares him at, you know, he's basically in the interview explaining how he got all of these things wrong in the last election, and looking back in hindsight, like, right, all of my hysteria and all of this hoopla for many of us, like, never ended up coming to fruition. I can admit I was wrong, which in today's world is a trait I can admire. Right. But this guy is like describing Trump akin to like Mussolini and Hitler. And I got to tell you, I'm watching it and I'm going, how could these people, like, again, not to sound arrogant myself, but I thought this even from the beginning, like, these are smart, educated people. How could you honestly have thought that from Trump? Like, I'm not even saying that as like the biggest Trump defender or fan by any means, because I think Trump thinks, not with, well, yes, with his dick, but also with his ego, right? Is which is what Andrew Sullivan detailed. He's like, he didn't really want all this, like, Putin NFL-esque power, right? It was really like his ego, because at the end of the day, like, everybody called his bluff. He wasn't actually going to do all of these things. Further, Trump is somebody who joked about being a dictator. Like, I'm going to go in and do this, guys, like, just to rile up the media and people like Andrew Sullivan, right? Suffering from the very severe case of Trump derangement syndrome versus someone like a Putin, like a Hitler, who aren't going to joke about being a dictator, who are going to actually be them and pretend like they're not, right? But even for me from the beginning, again, not to sound arrogant, but I was like, what were you people thinking? Not to downplay the power of Trump, because he's obviously very strategic and a very smart businessman, but I'm thinking, like, you guys really thought that this reality TV real estate mogul playboy was going to be some totalitarian dictator? Like, what are you even saying? Like, how could you even have bought into that? Like, to me, it's just complete and utter nonsense and totally ridiculous. This is giving the earth is flat. Like, really? So all of this goes to say, it makes me think about the narratives that we buy into and that we fuel. Like, meanwhile, all this is going on, and you probably heard by now, but multiple states, I think New Hampshire, Colorado, tried to rule to get Trump taken off of the ballot in this election, like, state by state. Like, give it up for democracy, am I right? Where is the sense to be made? So we're finding out right now, basically the Supreme Court unanimously is voting like, this is nonsense. Like, we're not going to take somebody off the debate because you guys have hurt feelings, right? So, which, again, like, predictable, but, like, do you want democracy or not? Absolutely insane, absolutely hypocritical, right? Especially coming from the people, again, who are all scared that Trump, if I hear it one more time, it's like, first, it's two things, right? Everyone loves comparing everything and everyone to Hitler. And also Trump's big threat to democracy. Trump ain't gonna do shit, okay? You all bought it. The only thing he's gonna do today is make sure his spray tan sessions and unlimited packages are set through the year. Like, give me a goddamn break. He's not gonna do all of these things. Again, not to undermine the power and the MAGA reach he has, but give me a break. It makes me think with all of this, it fuels the fire, and it just makes these, it's like creating the monsters we wanted to avoid. Same thing applies to Taylor Swift, right? When you think about it, we are feeding this frenzy. I see, forget the NFL feed, everybody, and I can't even open my feed right now and have a moment of peace, right? You have, like, guys at Barstool, you have political outlets, like, everybody is talking about this. Guess what? We are all fueling in to the frenzy of the Taylor Swift spectacle, right? Like, the thing you hate, the thing you want to avoid. Same thing with these people and Trump. Guess what? All of the hysteria only makes him thrive even more. He loves this. It's like, had you just forgotten about it, it almost reminds me of, like, breaking up with somebody, right? Like, say someone dumps you, and you are just obsessed. You nag them, you show up at their house, you steal a piece from their hair, or AKA, like, what all these deranged people would do with Trump. It just fuels their fire and irritates them even more. If you pull a, like, revenge body, I don't need you, I'm not gonna give you the time of day, it doesn't, their fire runs out. Like, the well runs dry. So all that goes to say, when it comes to people that we help thrive in power, are you going to be the needy ex or the one who don't need it and ain't going to give it the time of day and the power, so to speak? Think about it.